Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I read over your letter, brother, and I wanted to actually reply to a few points that you've raised in this letter. The first is the discussion of small actions and the need of consistency. You've actually raised the point of becoming motivated after a lecture and not being able to continue with actions. First, let me say that any action that you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be small or big, and whether it be consistent or inconsistent, is actually rewarded in a way which we will not be able to fathom, and only will only become apparent on the Day of Judgment. So this is the first and foremost thing that you should keep in mind. Any act is still a good act. Now obviously, according to the hadith and according to our tradition, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا, the most beloved of actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones that are consistent, وَإِنْ قَلَّ, even if they be few. So this is really the goal, consistency. And I think this is one of the key ways by which you'll be able to judge the benefits of the particular gatherings that you attend. Now, if you attend, for example, a gathering, and a speech is given on the benefits of reading the Qur'an, and you become excited, and you go home, and you read the Qur'an for a few days with fervor, but then you leave the act shortly thereafter, that gathering has provided a certain benefit, but you still have not maxed out according to our tradition. The idea would be that you be able to attend certain gatherings where you can develop a level of consistency. Now, this is one, dependent on the gathering, and two, dependent on your environment. But if you can attend such gatherings and find and seek such gatherings, then you'll truly be able to achieve pinnacles within the deen. I can give you a personal example. When I was first seeking out a teacher, and I had the opportunity to meet Sheikh Zulfiqar, who happens to be my teacher in Tasawwuf in Pakistan. When I met with him, he actually gave me a one-on-one discussion on the benefits of doing wudu before doing the ghusl. He spent at least 30 to 40 minutes discussing the benefits from the Qur'an, from the sunnah, from hadith, and also from a medical standpoint. And what I recalled, although I didn't become a student at that moment, what I did recall months after that is that I continued to do the ghusl, I continued to do the wudu before the ghusl, even though I continue to do the wudu before the ghusl on a regular and consistent basis. Now, in the past, I had attended many gatherings where I would perform an act once or twice or three times, and then I would lose consistency. But this was one of the very few opportunities that I had in my life in which I was taught something, but then it sort of stuck, and it attained some degree of consistency. And that was really one of the major criterion by which I judged Sheikh Zulfiqar before I actually took him as my teacher. And so in the same way, when you attend gatherings and when you attend lectures, this is one of the ways by which you can judge the amount of benefit that you're taking, namely in the sense that when your actions become consistent, you know that you've attained the proper company. The second point which you've raised in your letter is the whole concept of doing da'wah and developing yourself spiritually and where the balance lies and what should be done first. Now, I highly recommend that before you actually begin any type of active da'wah, you spend some time developing yourself spiritually. Now, this can include, obviously, the study of fiqh, the study of Qur'an, the study of hadith, because these are the tools of spirituality. But what you need to do is spend a decent amount of time developing yourself so that you actually have something to offer when you meet people to share the deen. This would probably be judged by, for example, being regular in your prayers, making sure that you're waking up for the Fajr prayer, reading Quran on a regular basis, etc. And I think this is very, very important. And you'll find this even as an example in the lives of our prophets. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send peace and blessings upon them all. For example, you should know that when a prophet is sent, that prophet is sent at a time of extreme darkness. And it's a time when the world needs to be rectified and there is actually no hope left except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send a messenger. So the prophets come at the pinnacle of darkness. Yet, if you study the lives of the various prophets, you'll see that each of them spent a certain time developing themselves before they undertook their responsibility. For example, look at the life of Musa alayhi salam. Now he lived at a time when the Pharaoh, or Fir'aun, had reached the pinnacle of oppression. And in fact, he used to call himself a lord. Ana rabbukum al-a'la is what the Quran states. Yet you see that Musa alayhi salam spent a great deal of time herding animals and watching over animals and watering animals for his father-in-law in return for the marriage of his daughter. And this story is actually detailed in the Quran. But the point is that each of the prophets has spent an extensive period of time developing themselves before they went out and spread their message. And this is because if you truly want to share, you have to have something to offer. And the only way you're going to have something to offer is by developing it within yourself. So I recommend that you be honest with yourself. You take a certain period of time to develop yourself spiritually, and then subsequently, your actions themselves will become a da'wah. Your presence itself will become a da'wah, and that really is the truest form. The final point which you've raised is the idea of talking to various people and criticizing them and criticizing their beliefs. Again, you need to be very careful in how you look at people. Obviously, the Sharia is the guide for everyone, and we all have to live our lives according to the Sharia. But within the Sharia, there are many interpretations for various actions, and although you may not subscribe to certain interpretations, when an action falls within the realm of the Sharia, you have to be very careful to not judge your Muslim brother, because the Muslim, according to the Prophet ﷺ, is the one who is protected from the tongue of his brother. And so we should be very, very careful when we judge people. As long as they act within the Sharia, we should be very careful to criticize. Now, at the same time, when you seek your company, you want to seek the person who is enacting and living their lives according to the Sharia and the Sunnah in the greatest manner. So whereas somebody may do something makruh and you may not criticize, you don't want to seek the company of such people, especially if you choose them to be the people whom you'll develop with spiritually, because those people will have much less to offer as far as a nisbah or a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, I hope that this answers your question, and if you have any other further questions from this, you can go ahead and email directly. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.